It's Sunday morning, time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. And happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers who are listening this morning. And that includes my wife, who's put up with me doing this show on WGN Radio on Sunday mornings now for an amazing 24 years. So happy Mother's Day, everybody. I'm going to start off this morning by talking about something that's happened at the Illinois Department of Natural Resources, but it actually has national consequences, and it surrounds an issue that we actually talk a fair amount about, and that is the governance of the Department of Natural Resources around the country. Some are called Fish and Game Agencies. Some are called Department of Natural Resources, as it is in Illinois. Some are called Departments of Wildlife. They all have the same purpose. They all were started for the same purpose. They were started to ensure that the conservation resources of a state were professionally managed and that the directors of those states had the input of professionals. And they basically, all departments of natural resources were started as fish and game agencies. It was for the management of fish and game. That's why so many of them are still called the Department of Fish and Game. Illinois changed its name from the Department of Conservation to the Department of Natural Resources under Governor Edgar's tenure, with Brent Manning as the director in the early 1990s. As it assumed other responsibilities, taking over mines and minerals, etc. But what has now happened in Illinois, unfortunately, is not helpful. And I do not make political statements on this show, or I try not to. So this is not a political statement. It's just stating what has happened. 3 years ago, Colleen Callahan was having difficulties with the Illinois Department of Natural Resources, and justifiably so. There were members of the Department of Natural Resources Advisory Board who were being less than helpful and frankly, less than professional, and several of them were moving personal agendas forward. So the director of the DNR then, Colleen Callahan, with Governor Pritzker, abolished the Illinois Department of Natural Resources Advisory Board, otherwise known as NARAP, and were to reconstitute it. I speak of from some significant personal background here, as I, for many years, under two different Illinois governors, served on the Illinois Department of Natural Resources Advisory Board. I know what it's like. I know the discussions that are held. I know the consequences of those discussions. I know how the board can work very closely with the director of the Department of Natural Resources. And I also know how the board, if the department director of the Department of Natural Resources is not moving in a direction the board feels is advisable, can make life difficult for the director. And that's why it was set up that way. The Illinois Department of Natural Resources Advisory Board had real meat to it. It set the seasons, it set regulations, it set the prices for license. And I could go on down the list of things that the NARAB board did. Just as if you're listening in Mississippi or Montana or Michigan or Maine, wherever you're listening this morning or podcasting after the show, you have a board that does those kind of things. Well, Governor Pritzker and the new current director, Director Finney, decided they didn't want the newly constituted Conservation Advisory Board to have any teeth, any merit at all. And so what they did was they've reconstituted it, all right, and they have obliterated any reason for there being an advisory board in the state of Illinois. And I'm going to read to you now briefly from the Illinois General Assembly the law that that reconstitutes the Illinois Natural Resources Conservation Advisory Board, and it completely emasculates it. And I'm sure that the director of the DNR thinks this is a great thing because the board has no teeth at all, cannot make any binding recommendations upon the director, and is simply there, I think, to offer the governor or future governors a way for patronage to pay people back who were helpful in their campaign or who they want to do favors for. So here's what's happened. An advisory board of the Department of Natural Resources will be composed of 13 people. You're not going to believe this, folks. Of the 13 people, two shall represent hunting and fishing interests, two shall represent natural areas protection interests, two shall represent urban conservation interests, I'm not sure what those are, one shall represent parks and recreation interests, one shall represent outdoor power sport usage interests, one shall be a member of a statewide association of trappers and represent trapping interests, one shall represent forestry interests, and the remaining three shall be residents of this state. The governor shall appoint a chair who will preside over the board meetings and shall appoint all the committee members. Well, why didn't they just throw the kitchen sink in there? What about people who want to ride horses? Shouldn't the fox hunting interest in Illinois, the equestrian interest, have a representative on the advisory board? We have absolutely torn down any, and what about the Trail Riders Association and the ATVs? I mean, and the snowmobilers. We have totally emasculated the reason we have a conservation advisory board in the state of Illinois. It is not to operate by quotas and apportionment. The overwhelming responsibility of the Department of Natural Resources in the state of Illinois is to further the management of wildlife and fisheries resources so that they can be hunted and caught. And some of you may listening may disagree, but that is the overriding interest. That's where most of the money comes from, and that's where most of the money goes. Everything else is a smaller percentage of what the DNR does. And to have an advisory board that has 13 people apportioned by all these various interests is to assure that the interests of people in the state of Illinois who hunt and fish are going to be underrepresented. There's no way around it. We going forward in Illinois are not going to have the representation that we have had since the beginning of the Department of Conservation many years ago. And every governor up until this governor has ensured that those interests were well looked after and respected. Because after all, it is those interests that drive the Department of Natural Resources. It is not the interests of people who want to ride ATVs. And it is not the interests of the outdoor power sports usage industry. I don't even know what that means, outdoor power sports usage interests. We'll have a member from that. Well, maybe that person will also be somebody who likes to hunt and fish. I don't know. And what is two shall represent urban conservation interests? Aren't we all in this together? Hasn't this just bifurcated in a terrible way and set an awful example? Management of the Department of Natural Resources in Illinois is for the wise usage of all of Illinois' resources, and that includes state parks, that includes people who like to hunt and fish, that includes people who want to walk on a trail, that includes people who want to bike. By the way, there are no bicycle interests that now have been apportioned to the Department of Natural Resources Advisory Board, and there nor should there be. I just can't believe that we have taken this board that had real standing, had professionals on it who understood the broad reach of conservation in Illinois, and now segmented into you're going to represent this interest and you're going to represent this interest. But by the way, you don't have a vote. You are simply an advisor. So I would ask, who in today's world is going to want to sit on this board? It's not going to be somebody who's busy, has a real job. No, why would you go and take the time to do this? Because you have absolutely no ability to effectuate anything. So I'm terribly disappointed. I'm disappointed in the process. And as I said, this is not a political statement. I'm not trying to say it's Governor Pritzker's fault or the current director's fault. This evolved over time. But Illinois is in a race to the bottom once again when it comes to the Department of Natural Resources. And I believe Director Feeney is doing all she possibly can to have the department function as well as it can. But Illinois is not a guiding light in natural resource management. And we talked a couple weeks ago about Arkansas, and I'll get to that next week because Arkansas is showing why they are such a guiding light among other states. So that's the news from Illinois. I think it's a move that absolutely undermines the credibility of the board, does not help the Department of Natural Resources at all. It's going to become nothing more than a political packing ground for people who did a favor to the governor or to a director. And why would people of real standing want to be on that board when it has really no responsibilities? And furthermore, it doesn't even represent the people of Illinois proportionally as to how the funds are spent by the DNR and where their interest groups are. If you hunt and fish in Illinois, you have absolutely been taken out of the picture by what's just happened. You've been given two people on a 13-person board when, since the beginning of the board, those interests were always represented in a majority, if not uniformly, unanimously. I'll be back in just a moment with more on the great outdoors. Thank you for listening. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN. And first, a message from our longtime sponsors, the Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
Hiking, camping, and hunting, it's all an adventure in the great outdoors, but nature can be tough. You need to be ready for anything and everything. Chevy Silverado is built to handle the toughest conditions and get you everywhere you want to go worry-free. Silverado's designed to handle the big jobs. It's built for the great outdoors. With over 13,000 pounds of towing capacity and trailering sway control, Silverado can haul the biggest loads on the roughest roads and keep you cool as a Sunday drive. With 8 available cameras and up to 14 different views, it can spot trouble before it gets to you. That's peace of mind. And when you're ready for the backcountry, Chevy Silverado 1500 ZR2 owns the off-road. You name it, we run over it. No wonder it's Motor Trend's 2023 four-wheeler pickup truck of the year. So see your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and check out a Chevy Silverado. It's freedom to explore the great outdoors.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host on WGN Radio. Thank you for joining me this morning. If you listen to the first part of the show, you know that I am, as I'm sure literally are hundreds of thousands of people who enjoy the outdoors in Illinois from a hunting and fishing perspective, disappointed in what the current governor has just done to undermine the integrity of the Department of Natural Resources Advisory Board and ultimately compromise the ability of the Department of Natural Resources to serve the people of Illinois, particularly to serve its largest constituent group. Moving on, though, I want to talk about the Bureau of Land Management, which I do from time to time, and I do it from the context of, can they really be serious? In other words, this is really about, can the U.S. government really be serious? Whether it's the Bureau of Land Management or whether it is the Forest Service, governmental agencies are increasingly being run by administrative orders out of Washington, D.C. that are so detached from anything that's even possible on the landscape that they can, A, their orders can't be implemented, and B, if they are implemented, they are a financial disaster. Plus, they're completely impractical. And when I say a financial disaster for the cattle ranchers of the American West, in this case, the Bureau of Land Management, someone at the Bureau of Land Management decided to use the sage grouse to dramatically reduce grazing in the American West, even if grazing in the American West has absolutely nothing to do with the demise of the sage grouse. And we've talked about this from time to time on the show. Cattle grazing in the American West has been taking place since the 1870s. And basically, it's been unchanged for the last 75 years. And sage grouse did just fine. And then all of a sudden, beginning about 15 years ago, sage grouse numbers began to plummet across the American West. Cattle didn't change. The landscape didn't change. Some other things changed. The American West went into a prolonged drought. Predator populations have exploded, and that's a fact that everybody can document. Birds of prey have increased materially across much of the breeding range of the sage grouse, greater sage grouse. And we've had West Nile virus, which is, we know what happened to birds in the Midwest, crows and other bird species when West Nile came through. It reduced their population significantly. Cattle grazing on Western lands have not changed in a very long time. They are not a reason that sage grouse are in decline. Because if they were, it would have happened decades ago or generations ago. It didn't. But the BLM doesn't want to believe that. And they are now requiring, this is something they want to put forth, which basically would say, there's no use of America's public lands in the West. Whether you're walking, talking, riding an ATV, riding a horse, the BLM has said that where a lek, which is what sage grouse use to breed, where a lek exists on BLM lands, there cannot be noise levels greater than 10 decibels within 2 miles of that lek. So think about this for a second. If you are having a conversation, riding a horse with another person, you're over 10 decibels. A cow mooing is over 10 decibels. A wolf howling is over 10 decibels. But they don't want any noise within 10 decibels. That makes more than 10 decibels of noise, which basically is a whisper. In fact, I think if you took a bunch of leaves on the ground and blew them hard, they'd be more than 10 decibels with the rustling they make. But they don't want a noise of more than 10 decibels within 2 miles of an identified lek. Part of the problem is they got to go out and identify these leks. Who's going to do that? And leks move from time to time. They do historically stay in an area, but this has been the use of America's public lands in the West is relatively unchanged with the exception of the onslaught of ATVs and UTVs and motorcycles, which are destroying the land, which I've talked about. No trails. People just go wherever they want to go. You buy an ATV here in Illinois, you put it on a trailer and you head to northern Wisconsin, you head to Michigan, you head out west. You just simply drive it. You didn't get, when you bought an ATV, you didn't get a right to use it on private lands. You got a right to use it on public lands, I guess. And I certainly use my own on public lands, but public lands were never set up to handle this equipment. And so there aren't really any trails. And so if you fly over the American West today at a lower altitude, you just see this, it looks like Swiss cheese, checkerboard of trails going over the most incredibly immense landscapes, all made by ATVs, UTVs, and motorcycles. That is a consequence of the equipment we've put in place. Thank you for being with me. I hope you've enjoyed the show. Have a great Mother's Day, all you mothers, and all of us dads. Our day's coming. Thanks for listening. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.